A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 159. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are celebrating the 60th anniversary of Quatermass. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This is a special episode from us for July 18th, 2013, because 60 years ago, July 18th, 1953, was the first broadcast, the very first episode of the Quatermass experiment.
That's right. One of the defining shows in British science fiction television, groundbreaking for their time, created by Nigel Neal and Rudolf Cartier, and the first serious British science fiction television, and I suppose one of the very first television events ever, I suppose, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. It was a very big deal at the time and was extremely influential. So we covered Quatermass on British Invaders back in September 2007. It was British Invaders episodes 7 and 8, so that's a while ago now. And just to get into a bit of the history of this, Nigel Neal was a staff writer at the BBC who was asked to produce a 6-part serial back in the 1950s.
That's right. They had this slot in the schedule, and Nigel Neal decided to do something with the idea of science gone bad. And produce a science fiction story. And he teamed up with a quite well-known BBC director and producer at the time, Rudolf Cartier, who they'd sort of worked together the year before, 1952, when Cartier had asked Neil to script edit another programme he was having problems with. And they decided to do something that would really sort of, I guess, push the envelope as far as it could go with available television technology at the time, and produce something quite remarkable.
Yes, absolutely. At the time, the standard thing for television was to basically perform plays, often existing plays, and basically point a camera or two at them. It was a ways from being sort of the more mature television production that we would see in, for example, the 1960s. And in this show, we were introduced to Professor Bernard Quatermass and the British Experimental Rocket Group, or BERG, and Neil claimed to have found this unusual name, Quatermass, in the telephone directory, and that Quatermass was a greengrocer or a fruit seller. It was also referenced that names starting with Q are more common on the Isle of Man, and Nigel Neal himself was from the Isle of Man.
That's right, and it's one of the many bits of sort of story and legend that have come down to us about the creation of Quatermass over the years, and it's some quite fun stuff.
It's a big enough event and turning point in television history, especially for the UK, that it has its own lore around it.
It does, and we'll get into a bit more of those stories in a little while. Let's take you through the original 1950s Quatermass. So the Quatermass experiment was the first 6-part serial, and as we've said, it first broadcast on July 18th, 1953, and went on weekly until August 22nd. And as you say, we had Quatermass, here played by the actor Reginald Tate and his team, waiting for the return of the first manned mission to space. And they're anxiously watching the skies, waiting to see when their ship will come back.
Yes, and this is a British space mission. It wasn't entirely clear if it was the first mission into space altogether, but it was the first manned mission of its type that was ambitious as this, and so on. on. And the rocket crash lands, and they go to find it, and they find one of the three astronauts alive in the wreckage. And the other two are not dead, they're simply missing. And we're left wondering, what happened to the other two? And Victor Caroon, the surviving astronaut, appears to have brought something back with him. So there are some strange things going on here.
Absolutely. Something strange has fallen from the skies, and perhaps not too long after the British people were used to things falling from the skies during the war. And it all leads up to a very dramatic and thrilling conclusion in part six, which took place in Westminster Abbey, which again would be very familiar to viewers at the time because of the recent coronation of Queen Elizabeth, which had been the other big TV event of the 50s. And as we've said, this was a huge success. 5 million people were reported to watch the last episode of the Quatermass experiment, which would be quite good viewing figures for a show in Britain these days, Brian. But considering that must have been just about as many TVs as existed in the UK then, it's quite remarkable.
It was quite spectacular. And at the time, as most things were, it was performed live for broadcast, with broadcast cameras pointed at the actors in a live performance setting. And the way they would do things, if they wanted to make a copy of it for rebroadcast, they would use a film camera with a special assembly where it would point at a video display and record it onto film. They didn't have actual video recording at the time, only film recording. And they recorded the first two episodes, but realized after those two episodes that the quality was not good enough for a rebroadcast or for further use. So, unfortunately, the last four of the six episodes were never recorded at all and were only seen as live broadcast. So we only have those first two episodes from the Quatermass experiment to look at now. But those are, in fact, some of the earliest British TV drama recordings that we have to look at. So they are still very interesting to look at historically.
And as you say, a great shame that we can't see the other four.
Yes, absolutely. Quatermass 2 followed a few years later, October 22nd to November 26th, 1955. Again, it was six episodes, and again, it was a live broadcast performance. And in this case, it was recorded, and we do have all six episodes. They're available on DVD. This time, Quatermass was played by John Robinson. Reginald Tate, who was the original Quatermass, actually died about a month before they did the recordings for Quatermass 2. So he was originally planned to star in it, but unfortunately wasn't available because he had just passed away. And in Quatermass 2, the team, including Professor Quatermass, is investigating the link between falling meteorites and a new industrial plant with a newly constructed town next to it for its workers, and very high security.
And again, we've got Neil exploring ideas of science and the new technology, which many people saw as threatening. And we have this slowly building invasion story, which is quite good and quite tense. And of course, memorably features a very notable performance by Roger Delgado. I know it's a performance that you're particularly fond of, Brian.
Yes, it is. It was only one episode, but he was a major character in that one episode, and it set up a kind of double act between Roger Delgado and John Robinson, and that was the highlight of Quatermass 2, I thought, was that episode and that double act. It was really very good.
Yeah, great stuff.
ITV originally launched in September 1955, so this was the beginning of having competition in broadcast in the UK. You had more than just the BBC now. And Quatermass 2, of course, was just a month or so later, and it was in part intended to be a response to ITV being there. And, you know, the BBC now needed to have big shows that would draw people in. So they were working to repeat the success of the Quatermass experiment and do something big with serialized drama. And I think that was something that worked very well and was quite successful.
Yes, and there you are. Another first for Quatermass, probably one of the first weapons in the ratings wars that were to follow for many decades.
Yes, absolutely. It was really the beginning of sort of serialized TV drama in the way we would see it unfold over the years. And it was one of the first steps in television drama, especially certainly in the UK, coming into its own as its own medium that had its own strengths and you could play to those. And it wasn't just stage drama with a couple of cameras pointed at it. It was more than that. And looking back at it, it's sort of exciting to see those kinds of things coming into place.
Absolutely. And so exciting and so successful that, of course, there was a third serial, which was Quatermass and the Pit, broadcast from December 22nd, 1958, so 3 years later, ran till January 26th in 1959. And this time we had Quatermass played by a very well-known television and film actor, André Morel, who, interestingly, I think had been offered the part for the very first serial, but had turned it down, I think, Brian.
Yes, I believe that's right.
And this time, Quatermass gets involved in investigating an archaeological dig at a place called Hobbs Lane in London, where what they appear to have found is an unexploded bomb, but actually it turns out to be something altogether different and more threatening.
Yes, it's something quite disturbing and scary, actually, and ties directly into human history and the nature of us, the nature of humanity altogether. And there is something malevolent in here with ancient roots, Hobbs Lane, Hob is a name for the devil, and that ties into this. And it is considered the first time that Nigel Neal sort of reimagined the ghost story and re-explained how ghosts exist in a more scientific way. He would go on to do that again in the 60s and again in the 70s, notably in the 70s with the Stone Tape. But he was a very interesting writer and did some interesting things with that.
Absolutely. And Quatermass and the Pit has got this reputation as being one of the sort of scariest shows, certainly of its time. And it received suitably high ratings. It was a major success, possibly the highest rated television of the time. And again, we've got all these famous stories about it, Brian, about how pubs would be empty, and that certainly the cinemas reported that the night of the last episode of Quatermass and the Pit was their lowest take-in for that particular year because people were staying at home to watch and see what actually happened.
Yes, everyone wanted to see that. And of course, this was before even the idea of reruns was really something that was out there. There were occasional things that they would put onto film and would get a broadcast again, but it was not the normal way of doing things. TV was much more like theater, that you would have the performance and you watch the performance while it was happening and then it was gone. And yeah, you had this tremendous attention to Quatermass, and it was really something that was, you know, that towered across the television landscape in the UK of the 1950s.
It was water cooler television long before the phrase had ever been coined.
Yes, absolutely. And that sort of completed the run of live broadcast Quatermass serials of the 1950s. And it was not the end of Quatermass altogether. There were other Quatermass productions that happened as well. Hammer Films adapted all three of the Quatermass serials starting in the 1950s. They did the Quatermass experiment in 1955 and Quatermass 2 in 1957. Both of those were with the American actor Brian Don Levy. They got releases in the US with different titles. And they were sort of a different take on Quatermass, a rather sort of grumpy and gung-ho Quatermass, not really what was done on TV, but sort of a different take on it, with a film version in each case a couple of years after the original television broadcast. And many years later, in 1967, there was the Hammer version of Quatermass in the Pit, and that starred Andrew Keir as Professor Bernard Quatermass, and that was sort of a much more faithful to the original idea type of film. And it was also the first Quatermass that was produced in color.
And it is probably the best of the Hammer films to watch, probably the most faithful to the original show.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. I think the original BBC version of Quatermass in the Pit is still better than the Hammer version, but the Hammer one is well worth watching as well. And there are certainly people who prefer the Hammer version to the BBC one.
Okay, so that was Quatermass in the 60s again. And in the 70s, we had another Quatermass serial. This time, Nigel Neal had gone freelance. He was now working for ITV, and he produced a four-part serial that was simply called Quatermass, and that was in 1979. The British actor John Mills, very famous, played the title role. And this time it's an older Professor Quatermass who's actually retired, but comes out of his retirement to investigate a strange cult, a sort of hippie cult who believe they're about to be transported to a better life on another planet. But as ever with Nigel Neal and Quatermass, there's something much darker and more sinister at work. And that show seemed, I guess, to wrap up the character arc of Quatermass, right from the Quatermass experiment through to this sort of, I suppose, final serial.
Yes, it sort of gave us a conclusion, and it was a little different. It had sort of post-apocalyptic elements to it, and it was quite different from the earlier ones, but definitely has some interesting things in it, and again has Nigel Neal looking at things that have played into human history for a very long time, but are not really known to us, and sort of things hidden into nursery rhymes and riddles and things like that. So some interesting things there. Quite different, but some interesting things. Many years later, in 1996, for the first time we had a Quatermass radio program. It was a one-off broadcast called the Quatermass Memoirs, broadcast on BBC Radio 3 in 1996. And it was a little different. It had Quatermass played by Andrew Keir, who had done Quatermass in the Pit for Hammer Films. And it was an older Quatermass, although clearly it was before the 1979 serial from Quatermass's point of view. But it had Quatermass talking to another character and looking back at the events of the 1950s serials and sort of tying things together nicely and adding some different things, had some interesting little pieces of dialogue there. While at the same time, Nigel Neal himself was talking about the creation of Quatermass and the history of the real world in the 50s and how Quatermass reflected that. So it was part sort of real world interview with Nigel Neal and part conversation with the character of Quatermass as sort of the real world and the fictional world sort of popping back and forth there. And it did a very nice job at putting those original serials into context for those of us who didn't see them at the time and were perhaps not around in the 1950s when these things were happening. So it's sort of an interesting little reflection on Quatermass from a fictional and a real real life point of view in there, which is kind of neat.
Okay, and very interesting. And then, of course, bang up to date, in 2005, we had a BBC4 recreation of the Quatermass experiment. This time, Jason Fleming took on the title role. David Tennant was in it as well. I think just before he'd been announced as the new Doctor Who.
That's right.
And as you've said, Brian, the original 1950s broadcast, they would rehearse intensively. And then on the night, they would do it mostly live with just a few pre-filmed inserts. And the BBC took a rather bold decision in 2005 to try a live performance again. And I think it gets some of that sort of intensity and nerves of what the original broadcast must have been like for the actors. And although maybe as a sort of more modern audience, we didn't find it quite so scary as it was in the 50s, I think it certainly scared the actors, Brian.
Yes, it was really interesting to see them do a live performance. And as a live performance, I think they did a remarkable job with it. I think as a standalone dramatic piece, disregarding the fact that it was live, it was still very good, and I really enjoy it. There are other people who don't agree with that and much prefer the older classic Quatermass programs, which of course are also very, very good. But I really enjoyed what they did with this.
Yes, yeah, I think so too. I think it was a splendid show, and some of that intensity really comes across in the sort of live on the night performances.
Yes, absolutely. It was some interesting things there. And that gives us all of the television, film, and radio programs that have been done with Quatermass. There have also been some theatrical productions. There was a performance that was done of Quatermass and the Pit many years ago that was supposed to be very good, that I believe had the audience following the actors around, and they had an actual sort of little ruin and like a pit there that it could be played around, and there were some things of that sort that were done. There have also been some books. The books were script books of the original three Quatermass serials, sometimes modified versions of the scripts for the books, but they were that's what they were. And there were also some novelizations by Nigel Neal himself. Nigel Neal felt that the best version of the 1979 Quatermass was his novelization rather than the actual broadcast version.
Okay. So, here we are on the 60th anniversary of the very first episode, and the reason we're talking about it is because, I guess, of the legacy of Quatermass, Brian. It's had a huge lasting impact. It was quite the biggest thing on British TV in the 50s in some ways, and certainly it was the first serious, intellectual, adult science fiction show that was created specially for television by Neal and Cartier. Remarkable stuff that they created, and its legacy lives on.
Yes, absolutely. It changed how television drama was made, certainly in the UK. And you had things like how Cartier used the cameras and the television screen was just different from what people were being told to do at the time. At the time, directors were being told to do sort of close-ups and not have very much happening on screen at any one time, because people were at home with, you know, small 4-inch or 7-inch screens and this sort of thing. And Cartier didn't believe in that. He would put lots of things happening on screen. And Nigel Neal wrote for the medium and realized what you could do with television and what would work and what wouldn't work. And it, in some ways, established television drama as its own medium rather than taking something else, like stage or what have you, and sort of squeezing it in. Quatermass and the Pit has been called simply the finest thing the BBC ever made. There are other things that have been suggested to be the best thing ever for the BBC, of course, but that's one of them.
Yes, absolutely fabulous piece of television, or several pieces of television from the 50s. And, you know, as we've said, it's had a lasting impact. It's influenced so many other shows and films. I think we can see an obvious sort of influence on the character of Professor Bernard Quatermass. You can see elements of that in the 1960s, of course, when Doctor Who is created. And then, of course, we'd also get some characters very much like Quatermass propping up in Doctor Who over the years, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. The idea of the central character being a scientist and being a moral authority were big changes, both of those, in how drama would be done. Certainly the idea of a scientist as the central character was very unusual in the 50s. And this moral authority idea seems sort of standard now, but it really wasn't then. And those were things that were both picked up for the character of the Doctor on Doctor Who.
Interesting stuff.
Yes, and of course, Quatermass has been referenced by a variety of writers and film directors as being an influence on their own work. We, of course, had that from Mark Gatiss, but also from people like Stephen King and John Carpenter.
Yes, that's right. I mean, huge impact over the years. So many people reference Quatermass and the impact it had originally. So, very, very dramatic and exciting television. So let's talk quickly about the availability. There is over here in Region 2 a Quatermass collection, which has all the surviving 1950s episodes and a documentary, and also has PDFs of the scripts and various photos and so on. And that's currently going for about £10 on Amazon, and that's a pretty good collection, Brian.
Yes, it's a very good collection, actually.
Because they're so important, the actual episodes, the 14 surviving 1950s episodes, are also available for free on the Internet Archive, so you can find them there.
I would recommend the DVDs over that if you can get them, because they really did a lovely job at packaging it together, and they did a great job with the restoration of the episodes, especially from Quatermass 2 and Quatermass in the Pit as well.
Yep, fabulous stuff. And then the Hammer Films, the 1979 ITV Quatermass, the CDs of the Quatermass memoirs, and the BBC 2005 remake experiment, they're all still available. I have to say, some of them are getting rather costly now, particularly the 1979 one, which has been deleted. And so here in the UK, secondhand copies are getting rather expensive, but they're all out there.
And in Region 1, there is a DVD release of the ITV 1979 Quatermass, which is a little bit less expensive than it is in the UK at this point, although I'm not sure if it's a deleted release or not at this point. The Quatermass memoirs, of course, are available, and the Hammer Productions are also available on DVD in Region 1, sometimes under the name Quatermass, and sometimes with their American release names. You can look those up, but those are out there on various DVD releases. So some of the sort of later Quatermass adaptations are definitely available in Region 1. Also, there is a Region B, or Region 2 if you prefer, Blu-ray release for the European region of Quatermass and the Pit, the Hammer Films version. So if you want Quatermass on Blu-ray, there is actually a release there as well.
Okay, fabulous. So we are talking about Quatermass, and I think it's obviously, you know, apparent that we're both fans of Quatermass. I don't think there's going to be any doubts about our recommendations. But if any of our listeners have not yet sort of dipped into Quatermass, which would you say is the best, Brian? Where should they start?
Well, I would start with the DVD set of the 1950s episodes. Maybe start by watching Quatermass 2 and Quatermass in the Pit, rather than the original Quatermass experiment, because we only have the two episodes of that. Maybe come back to it a little bit later as a bit of a novelty rather than a full story. But those 50s episodes are wonderful, and they're really well worth watching, especially Quatermass in the Pit. But I really enjoy all of them.
Yes, they are all fabulous. I think Quatermass and the Pit is the standout, with André Morel's Quatermass, and it's fabulously sort of spooky and scary. I quite like the Hammer film of Quatermass and the Pit as well, but the original TV one is the one to go for, I think. And then, of course, the 2005 BBC remake, Experiment, and it was an experiment. We're both fans of that as well, Brian.
Yes, it's also very good, and that one is a little bit more controversial among the TV fans, because it was sort of a bit of an odd mix of 1950s styles and modern styles. It was sort of set in modern day, but it very much had a lot of 1950s dialogue and 1950s styles mixed in with it. So it's a slightly odd beast that just doesn't quite work for everyone. But I really quite enjoy it. And you have Jason Fleming, David Tennant, and also Mark Gatiss in it. So it's neat stuff.
Yes, and Nigel Neal was involved as a consultant, and we know he was very pleased with the way they handled the ending and changed it from Westminster Abbey to the Tate Modern Art Gallery as a sort of reflection of the importance of galleries and art in society in the early part of the 21st century.
Yes, Nigel Neal was always very interested in having current issues and a reflection of current society in his fiction. So having little notes of update in it like that was something that he was very pleased with.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we can't sort of overstate the quality and the importance of Quatermass for British science fiction television. It is sort of almost all springs from here, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And if you're more familiar with American science fiction and American television, if you think of The Twilight Zone as being sort of the first very big and influential piece of American science fiction on television, Quatermass sort of sits in a similar position in the UK. Arguably even more influential, and partly because it was actually a number of years earlier. So it was very influential at a time that television was really just finding its way.
Yes, absolutely. And Neal and Cartier sort of defining where television would go from there.
Absolutely.
So, I guess that will do it for our special bonus anniversary episode, Brian.
Yes, happy Quatermass Day, everyone.
Yes, absolutely. And especially if you're joining us for our very own Quatermass experiment on the Facebook group. And then until next time, we're going to be back on our regular schedule with the first part of our discussion about Star Maidens.
Yes, absolutely. That will be a bit of a shift from things we've been doing lately, for sure.
Yep. And as ever, we'd love to hear from you, so do tell us your own personal memories of Quatermass or your favourite particular brand of Quatermass. Please send us some feedback.
Yes, and if anyone actually watched the original broadcast or some of the original broadcast in the 1950s, please send us an anecdote or two. That would be lovely.
Where can they reach us, Brian?
You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com. We are at BritishInvaders.com. And we are on the Geek Culture Network at TheGeekCultureNetwork.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there as well. We have fun discussion going on there much of the time.
And you'll also find us on the Voice of Geek streaming internet radio channel at vognetwork.com, where we go out on a Monday and a Tuesday evening. And, you know, very welcome to you if you're joining us from the Vogue Network.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening and joining us in this Quatermass anniversary celebration. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And as Brian says, happy Quatermass Day. And this is Eamon in England also signing off.